It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 789.
Oh, it's a great number. What's happening, guys? What's going on?
Why is it great?
789. I just love, like, so my birth date is the 1st of the 9th, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just take my birth year, that is my whole birth date. 1988.
Oh, that's
1st
good.
Of September, the 9th, 88. 1988. It's
that fun. Is good.
That's why I'm so special.
What do you think about my mo?
The mo's back. I don't mind it. I actually, I think last time you had your moustache, it's, we all just gave you shit because that's what you do to someone else in the office.
Yeah. It looked better in the mirror, to be honest.
That's fine, mate. It's fine. What are you doing it for? What are you trying to be?
I don't know. I just shaved and then.
Are you making a play for the mo guy? You know George is the mo guy.
No, I did. Why did I do it? Why
well,
did
George I do is it? Upstairs now. We've sent the boys upstairs. They're no longer downstairs in the studio as their full-time workspace plus studio space.
Yeah. So, what we made the decision over the weekend, we had a big sort of you, me and Jess had a big
crisis.
crisis meeting. No, we planned out a bunch of things. She does a thing called CAP planning.
CAP planning.
Which is capacity planning.
Yeah.
And so she has a spreadsheet and then she puts down all the tasks that we have on one side.
Yeah.
And then she puts all of our names.
So there's like intellectual porn, which is, you know, the Jordan Petersons of the world, the Sam Harrises that are super articulate and you just like I get off over listening to them talk.
Mm-hmm.
Watching someone maneuver a Excel spreadsheet.
Watch your words.
Like Jess does is, I mean, wow. It's seeing someone build it out. You know what I mean?
So sorry. But yeah, no, it's very good.
Not and in
so,
a sexual way, just as in a satisfaction.
Yeah, no, there is. And
nothing's
so
always,
and
look
so we
at you, put, Mo guy with the sexual everything's got a sexual tone to it.
And so anyway, we put together like everyone's hours and then we worked out what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Jess brought up was how with everyone being in the studio all of the time. It doesn't necessarily create a great vibe for getting shit done.
Yeah. Well, it's just one whole day. I mean, the only way it'd make sense is if we kept a camera rolling
the whole time.
If we made money
off the podcast.
Yeah, that too. That too.
But yeah, no, it would be good. So anyway, the decision, I think even if we were filming the whole time, we couldn't justify it. So the idea is that Sevs, GB and Jess will join us for weekend banters.
Yep.
But then we were able to create 7 extra hours each of work that they could do a week.
Highly optimized.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you'd call it.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it though. Very organized.
Feeling great.
So sent now, 5 emails today.
Mate, you fired up. And that's for a Monday. Usually people are just like, oh, I can't be bothered on a Monday.
No, Mondays I think are good for me.
I had a great sleep last night, which very... Very grateful for. Bodie's got a new bed. What bed did you? What was your first bed in Narre Warren? No, it was
never lived in Narre Warren.
Sorry,
Endeavour Hills. Endeavour Hills.
What was your first? Like that you remember? Sort of getting into that 4, 5, 6, 7 years year old that you can sort of remember that bed you had.
I don't remember too much. I remember the Doona cover, which was like blue,
filthy.
No, it was light blue, and it had like a dude on it.
Yeah.
Like a boy. Like it reminded me of the bald kid from Rugrats.
Oh, yeah. Tommy.
Tommy. Yes. Tommy. Yeah, yeah.
Little Tommy.
So it looked like that. But yeah, I remember.
Did you even know what it what?
No, it would have just been whatever the buyers at Kmart could source.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's legit like when you buy a portrait, like a picture frame and there's a stock image in the back of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You bought a stock image.
Exactly. Well, I think that it was cool enough.
Yeah.
That it was an issue. What was your... Well, I also had the double... not double bed. A bunk bed. That was the first one that I had with my brother Jake.
Yeah.
But then moving on, you know, to a single, I had that blue Doona.
Well, we got a king single. And Bodie is a 3-year-old kid.
Seems luxurious.
Well, it's crazy. But you think about... You got to think for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy does, definitely. So we invested in a beautiful wooden framed bed, which took 9 weeks to get here. That's another story. What the hell?
Do you know Muji do really good beds. Do you know Muji?
Muji, no. Is that
they're like the stationery. I think they're Japanese. They do like really nice stationery. Well, you can get a bed made, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so it got here, but it's great. Easy to put together. We got the mattress on the Saturday, went, picked it up. Well, we didn't pick it up, went there, didn't fit in the car. The guy just said, I'll drop it off for $50.
Really?
Brought the mattress
like an
out.
Official sort of thing or just off the like 50
no,
bucks
he owned
cash?
The business. Okay. No, it was $50, but it was just like you could tell it's a guy who owned the business that is just going that extra mile. Like that's what I love about these times. People want to make money. Like I can drop it off tonight, 5 p.m. for $50.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I like that it's like the thing that I thought you were going to say is like people are generous and kind. It's like people want to make money.
No, but I appreciate it because he's a guy in the mattress game that everyone's doing it tough.
Yeah.
You see where people are willing to maybe put in a bit more time. If people are doing well, it doesn't always necessarily translate to giving better service.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you're making money anyway,
it's
not the right approach. And I don't think everyone takes it, but I just was like, he cares about making some money to support his business.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. And he was a lovely, lovely guy. And so I got that Saturday night, huge. It's big enough for me. And Bodhi slept in it Saturday night, came into our bed, 2 a.m. I got up on Sunday morning, straight into the king single.
Really? Is this? Do you think Amy got it more for you?
No, it's a classic thing that parents do. It's like the one in, one out.
What's that?
One in, one out. It's just like kid comes to bed. Oh, I'm out of here. Straight.
Really?
It happens a lot.
And
a lot.
Are you normally the one that leaves?
Well, we've never had a bed that I could go out and sleep on.
And so, what used to happen?
Amy said, "Oh, this is the start of it." She said as I was walking out.
Oh, really? Because it was comfy.
Start of me having some good sleep.
If you were a single adult, would it be a bed that you would own?
Not the mattress. It's dog shit.
Okay,
but it's good for a kid. It doesn't even have like a classic pillow top. It's like you spent $200.
Limping or anything?
No. It's comfy as shit. It's more comfy than his other one.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can sleep on the ground, man. Like at daycare.
Why not? Why
kids
don't you
sleep on thin foam?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine.
Why
it's fine.
Have a bed?
Good point. I'm sure some kids don't. One of Amy's friends, when they first had their first child, I think they're on their fourth now, the kid's bed when it was a baby was in a drawer. So, like, you make a nice little bed area in the drawer. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Can't roll out. Really comfy with some sort of little foam and the right sort of blankies.
You've just got to make sure it's weighted right because you just don't want the drawers to fall over.
But Bodhi slept in the bed all last night and woke up this morning like a little angel.
Really?
So
because he woke up at 2 a.m. the first night on Saturday.
And then last night, 8 o'clock till 8:30 maybe till 6:45, 7.
Oh, that's good.
So good.
Any difference that you're noticing?
Difference in just having a full night's sleep is huge. It's amazing. You said you woke up on Saturday night.
Yeah, I woke up and I also did it last night too.
Oh, dude,
so
what's
Saturday
happening?
Night, I don't know. I feel like last night I was like, I need to have an early night because if I don't have 8 hours, it's an absolute nightmare, I reckon. Like, if I ever am like, man, why am I being such a fuckwit today? It's because I haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah.
And so I was like determined because we have a big week. I'm like, I need to get 8 hours. And so I went to bed I was in bed by 8:45, reading my Kindle until 9:30, went to sleep at 9:30. And then at 11 a.m., I got woken up to screaming on Smith Street once again. And there was a guy screaming at a car. And I've got the footage because I even say in the thing, I'm like, call triples, saying a break, call 000. which she then said, oh, okay, well, you can talk. And I was like,
I'm pretty sure that was the other video.
Yeah,
as well.
It was the same one. Well, so the, but I decided not to bother. But it was a guy with a black hoodie and there was a small white car following him. And he was telling the white car to fuck off.
Yeah.
And in the white car was a female. I think it might have been his girlfriend maybe. And he's had a meltdown. And she's like, And he's like, go home. Oh, no. And he threw the bottle at the car.
Oh, no.
But then I was like, man, when you see that, because my heart was like racing, I was just like, I get into this mode of like, what's going to happen? Like, is she going to run over him or is he going to kick the windscreen? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And so that was at 11 o'clock and it took me about 40 minutes to get back to sleep.
Mm.
But I was thinking.
So, that was last night?
Last night.
And then on Saturday night?
And Saturday night, I just woke because we had some wine and I think that maybe being a bit half pissed and sleeping, it's a bit of a nightmare. I have real fucked up dreams and it's all like.
It can happen.
Yeah. And then also on Saturday night, I was watching a cop car, like a police chase. And because I heard the woot woot little siren.
Oh, yeah.
You know
there's action. Yeah. There's woot woot.
Yeah. And so I sort of sat up and then was watching them like a car speed off and then the police car. And then you could hear revving happening, like a car was going really fast down Smith Street.
Is it true you sleep in police pajamas? That has a little badge,
no,
Mr. Jansen.
That would be cute. I had a sheriff badge growing up. I also had
Constable Jansen.
I would like that. No, but when I was actually a kid, a lady at the primary school had a laminating machine, laminator.
Yeah.
And so I got what was it called? Art Master. There was a software that was like Print Artist. Print Artist is what it was called. Print Artist, if you remember Print Artist, shout out. But it was like you could create really good-looking documents, but it was more like if you wanted to create like birthday invitations or things like that.
Mm.
And I got an ID, or it's like a photo of me, and then I gave myself a big title and got it laminated.
Mm.
And so when I was getting bullied in the playground, I would just show them my card and say, back off.
Yeah.
And they would, because they didn't know what it meant.
So confused. Jeez. Were you bullied? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't know if I am. You probably wasn't being bullied. I was probably, like, I would pull the card out pretty regularly.
You're a bully?
I wasn't a bully. But then I discovered actual card makers, which is one up from laminated.
Yeah.
Which is actually printed directly on the card. Really nice qual.
And then it was jail after that, wasn't it? So while George is away, like you've made the play for his moustache,
mm-hmm.
you've just brought a bit of George to our shows.
Yeah.
There's something I'm making a play for when it comes to The Office and George. He wanted to set up a sound booth under the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't happened.
No.
He got as far as the desk and a little bit of soundproofing. And
so do you want that to be – because we have taken our desks that are upstairs – and we've given that to the boys.
Yeah.
And so they have vitamin D. Mm. They've got like 97 So Happy. He's got like the windows open and he's like, he's a new guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're down here now, sort of hot desking, essentially.
In our own business.
And so are you wanting to use the cupboard as a office?
No, I want the cupboard as a creative space that I have a bunch of stuff set up that is good to go for
moisturizers, tissues, and a
no, and an OnlyFans subscription. No. I want to set up my glue gun.
Mm-hmm.
I want to set up a little recording area. I basically want to do what George thought he could have done,
mm-hmm.
but he won't do it. And so. I'm making the play. It's official. I'm climbing back under the stairs.
Yeah.
George hasn't acted quick enough.
And so you're going to do a bunch of videos.
Yeah, I want to have it as like a – so I've kept a bunch of shit. Like, and so I came in on Sunday
mm-hmm.
to the office just to sort of tidy up a few things, get the boys' desks area.
Well, hadn't told them yet and you called me and said, hey, do you think it's cool if I move all of their shit to their new spots? And I said, no, you can't do that.
And you know when you're calling somebody to ask,
it's
you know that it's not right.
Yeah, you were hoping that I was tweaked. On a bad day, I probably would have been like, yep, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Which is, it feels like the same move as if you've broken up with someone, leaving their shit outside. The house.
Yeah, that's no good.
And so anyway, what sort of things have you got?
Some stuff up down there. I've got my hook from some old videos, but I've just got a whole bunch of trinkets and little knickknacks that I want to start putting up in that and just make it a real kooky little space. Tony Lodge, we caught up with last week. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago. She mentioned she loves glue gunning.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent a lot of time glue gunning as a kid.
What does glue gunning mean?
So glue guns look like a little gun. You stick this, you know, long stick of glue into the back of it. It heats up and you press the trigger and it pulls in the stick of glue, heats it up and pushes it out the other end as goo, hot goo. Don't want to get it
in your hand. Arts and crafts.
Great for arts and crafts. I used to do a lot of paddle pop stick castles, things like that. And then there was, you know, you'd get a bit funky and get coloured glue that would go through the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Great for just, you know.
So you want a glue gun or you've got one?
I've got one.
Okay.
I've got a heap of shit. And I.
What were you using the glue gun for previously?
I've used it for little bits, stuff on my camera, stuff around.
Did you get it because Casey Neistat had it?
No, I've had them. Mate, fuck Casey Neistat. I've been glue gunning for years.
Because he actually takes the glue stick as well and will just use a lighter and melt it
down.
That
works too. That works too. It's just if you don't have to, if you don't have time to set up your glue gun.
Yeah.
But the thing about a creative space. So I think everyone wants it at some point where they're like, I need my space with my paints because I'll paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat true that if you have it accessible, you should be doing more. The other side of it is, you don't end up doing stuff that you actually enjoy because you've just got older and you're just a bit jaded. You got shit going on. You haven't slept and you're saying, next minute you're saying, if I don't get 8 hours, I'm fucking useless. But in saying that, that's like... You won't always get 8 hours. But the other thing is you won't always want to do the things that you like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can create somewhere that you know that, you read in every fucking self-help book. It's like if you just had 30 minutes on one morning where you did something silly like do some glue gunning.
So what are you going to? So is it like an arts and crafts move?
Bit of everything.
I like it.
Because it's just an artistic space. Mm-hmm. What is art? What do you think art is?
Self-expression. Was it our chat with Ryan Shelton that got you excited about it?
Yeah, it got me into that.
I mean, the only thing is, not to be the brat, but if you get that space, what do I get?
What do you want, mate? This is the thing. There's a lot of you can
just make opportunities. I'll have the garage.
Yeah, but you've never cleaned it. I've cleaned it all.
I've never put shit in it.
Yeah, true. But if I have the garage.
No, I've got the garage. You've got the under the stairs bit.
What are you doing in the garage?
Fucking welding. Why not?
I've got my woods in there. Our woods. I've got. It's our gear section. What do you like though? What would be something that you could in this office cement as your own? Like you've got your booth where you switch the cameras and do the audio. What's your thing?
Yeah.
Do you want a bookshelf up the back?
I would like that.
That'd be good.
But then I also don't want to cement everything to be studio related.
Yeah. Meaning?
Well, because if it's all in the studio, I can't sort of, like, I like that you've got the separation between your downstairs cupboard and the studio.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest, I think that my house, like where I've, like my apartment, that second room where is my office space, that's great.
Yeah.
But I feel like I feel like the inclination is, because you said the glue stuff, that I need to all of a sudden start doing watercolor. Or like, which I used to be a big Derwent pencil fan.
Oh, yeah.
Had some really good Derwent pencils.
Yeah.
But, what do I want to do? I want to get into writing. So, actually, this is what I want.
Here we go.
Could I please have a laptop stand?
Oh, yeah. Where does that go?
Goes on my hot desk.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't have to hurt my neck.
And so, a laptop stand just lifts it up for you to poke neck, less fucking tilt.
And then I have my external mouse and keyboard, but I think I'll pick up my memoir. I'll keep writing it.
Oh, yeah.
So, that would be good. I do like writing.
Yeah. Okay. So, then what's the... Because I've always been of the thinking, if you're telling yourself the story of, I need this to do it, fucking go get the thing. Yeah, so, you got no story to tell.
Yeah.
Your story's kaput and you've got no excuse.
Well, I'm about to, tonight I'm buying a exercise bike from Kogan.
Oh, great.
Under $400.
Great.
How good could it be for $350? You wonder.
Well, I don't think it'd be that bad. Like a spin bike.
Yeah. It's not very smart.
Doesn't matter. They don't need to be smart. I had a spin bike.
I don't want an aero dime. Like, I don't want is it an aero dime?
That, like, the actual.
I don't want the air ones. No. So there's ones that all the fucking gyms, especially like what's it called? Kettlebells and doing all that. What's the people that do a bit of everything?
CrossFit. Yeah, the wind that creates a lot of fucking
air dime, I think it's called. But those things are like $1,500.
Yes.
And they're noisy as fuck. I want something that I can just ride on.
Yep.
And get the miles.
So yeah, great.
So I'm getting that tonight. So that will be. Helpful. And then I want it because I want to get into consuming whilst moving rather than like sitting and watching TV and getting on the bike.
Because you have the habit of TV and consuming. Yeah. So if you add, it's what do you call that? Like grouping a habit.
Yeah.
It's like a bit of a hack. Mm-hmm. Trick yourself into it by doing it.
That's if you think about like all of the little docos I watch on different stuff.
Yeah.
Saw an interesting one on Disney and their price hikes. They've just opened up Disney World.
Again?
Yes. Okay. They said, the reporter said, Disney World now the happiest place on earth for COVID-19.
Oh, jeez.
Which I sort of thought was clever. But, the pricing, there's been huge increases over the years of Disney. They introduced dynamic pricing based on the time of year.
Oh, wow.
But what they were talking about
for
is
the actual
park. So say like school holidays costs more.
That makes sense.
But they were sort of talking about their Disney's pricing out middle America. So they really built a core base, but now the cost is getting really ridiculous.
Too high. So it's only the
like Brie and I spent so much when we went to Disney. It is expensive.
But yeah, I don't know how that's going to be sustainable if you can't have truckloads or plane loads of people coming from. Like the Asian tourism is ginormous to these countries. Mm-hmm. In Australia, think about all the money that brings in.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone for a little while.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe it's just people on their private jets flying and spending the cash. I want to do one recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it'll land. Last time, my recommendation of what was it? Fire Saga with Will Ferrell.
It was horrendous.
But just one.
Oh, actually, I know what I would love to do.
What?
I want to get my Dora Dango made.
Oh, yeah. You could do that in the garage.
Would you let me have clay and stuff in the garage and stuff?
Yeah, you just have to set up drop sheets, blankets.
Uh-huh. I might need some help. But anyway, I think that'd be good. So, anyway, that got me thinking because it felt like a
project.
Yeah, go on.
So, I gave the recommendation of Fire Saga, the Eurovision Netflix film.
Terrible.
Terrible, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I told everyone.
You didn't say it was terrible.
But I also didn't say have a fucking watch party. I also didn't say.
Well, you said it was really good. Like for I don't watch movies or many movies.
But
and
what
so
ended up happening was. Josh organized a watch party between four people and the suspense. Doing a watch party for a film is building up a suspense within you that you're like, this has to be good. We're with everybody.
What do you think cinemas are? Cinemas are just watch parties, no?
Yeah, no longer. They're done.
Well,
and
so anyway, you've got another film recommendation.
So it's a two-prong viewing. You need to first
like
watch.
A series, like a two-part series.
This is a lot of work. If you've got kids, it's light work because you're used to this kind of shit. I want you to watch Frozen 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just consume it. I have about 40 times.
Okay.
And this is, I think, why I love it. Bodhi's obsessed with Frozen at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute and it's so well made. Frozen 1, Frozen 2. But then once you've watched Frozen 2, watch the making of Frozen 2. And it's a doco series on Disney Plus that looks into the writers, the animators, all throughout
Disney.
Could I
watch the making of without watching the other two?
Oh, it's just so amazing to appreciate it in reverse. Watch it. You're familiar with the characters and understand the storylines and how crazy the visuals are.
Yeah.
And how amazing the story is. and then you go to connect all the dots.
Get it.
Holy shit. The people, the husband and wife couple that write every song for that, their influence on the storyline is ginormous, which you wouldn't think. Like, they actually piece together the start and ending of the second film by their one song. Like, the creative process that Disney have, it's like 70, 80 people working on Frozen 2 that is the Frozen team from before. And it is probably one of the greatest creative processes I've ever seen, like, in terms of
anything we can learn.
Collaborative. Just even how, like, they'll have.
What if we were to take one thing and bring it into our team? What is it?
I think it serves a. It's very clear. They've got a start and an end goal, which is we need a finished film that goes and is shown and distributed. The takeaway is that you don't need to have all the answers before you start. You don't need to have all the answers.
So what did they have worked in the middle. Out? So what was the bit that they had worked out? They had a script.
Frozen 2 is a bit different because they're coming off the back of Frozen 1. But what they need to do is make it better than Frozen 1.
Uh-huh.
Frozen 1 into Frozen 2. The pressure of it being
Pixar. It's Disney, isn't it?
Disney, yeah. Okay. And so they didn't know the story and how it finished 6 months, 7 months out from it needing to be finished. Because it's such a process of, like, getting it right. They do these sessions where they show a screening of it in its bare bones, like, drawn, hand-drawn, some of the animations rendered. Looks like dog shit. But you've got some, like, overlay animatics, tracks vocals and all of that. And then they do an eight-hour session after that film in a round table discussing it. So you've got, like, the guy who made blah, 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 blah. You've got the woman who's the head of this and wrote this amazing animation film just saying, like, the story falls there. I don't know. Like, it's brutal. And the friction they go through, it's just like a – it's. I think it's a great representation of how a creative process is for everybody, but this is just on such a stage. Like, you really see it in its every format. Like – you come up with an idea, you feel shit about it, you try it, didn't look that great, you do it again. Small time. This is like, this has so much riding on it, these things. And so it's amazing to see. And the documentary
series
is so well made. Just watch it. I think it will make you want to watch Frozen 1 and 2.
The South Park, I think it was called 6 days or 7 days to air, which is the story of how they make South Park.
Yeah.
Obviously a very different thing, but they would do the whole thing in a week.
It's phenomenal. I mean, this took them 3 or 4 years to make the film. Like, animation's ridiculously long, but, like, nothing was locked off. The script's not locked off. They get the voiceover actors.
Any blow-ups?
Heaps.
Really?
Oh, just like.
Did Bodhi watch the behind the scenes?
Bodhi loves it. It's unbelievable because you onboard the kid to the film and then they're loving. Because they're hearing and seeing the person behind Olaf or Elsa or Dax Shepard, his wife, what's her name? Kirsten Bell. Kristen Bell. Dude, she's the most talented person on earth.
Really?
It's so annoying. Because she can act and then she has this voice of an angel that, and I said to Amy, has she been like a singer? Like, surely she's done albums and shit.
Really?
Hasn't done that stuff. She did it when she was young and then does this film.
I watched a interesting doco on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
On Amazon Prime. It's all about how Netflix started.
So, Amazon Prime, they're nothing to do with Netflix?
No.
Or they're just, okay. Oh, it's on Amazon Prime. Sorry. Okay.
It's on the platform, Amazon Prime, and it's about Netflix.
Okay. And it's a privately funded.
Yeah, it was like it had some shitty elements to it. Like, you could tell it was a bit indie.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. Do you know what year do you think Netflix started?
Oh, I remember hearing about it. 2000 and probably 2004?
I think it's like 1998.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, late 90s before the dot-com bubble. And yeah, it was sending DVDs in the mail.
It's crazy. I literally thought after this weekend, I was like, if I went back in time... What's the one company you would like try and find the people who end up making it and telling them and trying to get in on it at the early stage. Sure. And it was
going to
work. I would
be telling Blockbuster to just fucking pull your head in.
While you're over telling Blockbuster to pull their head in, I'd go to Netflix. Who are you talking to? No, I'd go to... I was thinking about for Frozen, like imagine if you knew the premise of Frozen and you like found the directors in the past and said to them like...
Is this after seeing Ryan Shelton's, you know, coming back from the,
you know, the future? No, I was just thinking about it. It's a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
So you only got one shot at it and you want to make money, you want to influence the world. What company would it be? What product
it's
would
interesting.
It be?
When you go these places, like it's like with all the COVID stuff, start thinking about like what happens when we die. Like, do you think, because say for instance, like everything, like I don't understand anything, right? I understand physics. I don't understand like fucking all this shit. I just don't get like it's weird. Even I see buildings and I'm like, how is that tower like standing up? Or how does that build, like how does that tunnel work? Like it's amazing the things we build,
yeah,
but I don't understand them. And so I'm like, well, maybe like something... Maybe there is something that happens after we die.
Well, anyone who tells you there is or there isn't doesn't know.
Yeah, we're making it up. But, are you fearful of death?
No, because I think I do a good enough job at convincing myself that it's not happening in this moment. Like it's a consistent fooling of yourself. Like Sam Harris talks about this. We're all walking around. I mean, some people are probably more fearful than others, but then the people who aren't fearful haven't really thought about it. Or
But what if you have thought about it? So you blocking out death or being like not really thinking about it versus being like what about if death is better than the current situation?
Yeah, I've thought about that stuff. I've thought about if when it does happen, there is this other side.
Mm-hmm.
That then you're waiting and you can see down.
And could have been so annoyed. Like, imagine how annoyed we'd be.
So
we're putting this off the whole time. Like, we're like the whole game of life in some ways is like not dying, but then you die and they're like, huh? You made it. You took so long.
You took so long. I've got 7 kids up here. You know, sorry, Amy, but you know,
does that mean?
My thing is, you go to some other place, but you can still see down on Earth, and you can still imagine if this is a simulation, for instance, and you plug out of it, which is death, and then you're looking at that simulation still going. So there's all these people watching this TV show, and what they're saying is, "Fuck, they're getting onto us. Like, we're becoming more evolved. The concept of being
what's
in the simulation." Well, while I got out of this simulation,
Amy
took
someone else.
50 years to get out of the system.
Sure.
And so I had another family. Bodhi's still down there. He's very annoying.
Yeah. But isn't it weird to think, but also like thinking about it, like down heaven or something.
Yeah.
Like it could be completely different. It could be a control room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's where, what's
the point in thinking about it?
What's the point in thinking about it? I mean, so some scientists... So, you go reincarnation, then you go, some scientists are looking at the consciousness and our experience of it and our brain. It's like without the electrical system running, like once it's cut off,
like how fucked is
it becomes nothing. You pull you turn off a light, there's no light. It's gone.
Yeah.
There's no current. So, I've heard people reflect on death is like cutting off the power. Once the power's off, it's completely gone. And so there can't be anything after it. So
maybe we're being recycled.
Exactly. But I mean, it's
hard to know, isn't it?
It's super complex.
But I think that if we got comfortable, I guess this is where religion comes in. If you can be really comfortable with death, then all of a sudden things don't matter. Like you wouldn't necessarily get the response. You know, like if you're walking late at night and you just see someone being seedy or whatever. Like you wouldn't have that little part of your brain going, oh, what the fuck's going on here?
Worried about it.
Yeah, because you'd be like, oh, come at me, bro. This is my time.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's too dark. But that's why I think about like planes and shit. I mean, I feel like every day that I don't go on a plane, it's going to be so weird when we go on one.
Definitely.
Like I've traveled a lot, as I've said.
You're the well-traveled man.
Many flights. But that'll be weird. When's the next time we're going to be on a flight? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, it'll be a year since we're in Los Angeles, only in a couple of months' time. Mm-hmm. No, 4 months.
Hyperbolic, yeah.
But, yeah.
How do you think we die? Go and send us an email. hi@thedailytalkshow.com.
Have you actually read up on it? Or have you
had a near-death experience?
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, the why. Like, why is that a thing? Why is it that mm-hmm. there's been multiple people that have talked about light at the end of a tunnel, seeing some sort of mm-hmm. feeling disconnected from their body? I have heard someone speak about it, explaining that stuff. Like, there's always a fucking explanation for everything.
It's annoying, isn't it? Yeah. We should get like an expert or something on death.
Or, yeah. What happens? Yeah, exactly what happens.
Like what happens, when you die. Anyway, all right, yeah. It's the Daily Talk Show.
On that light note.
Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.